Support for this episode comes from Signature Bank.
Hey, this is Gary Head at Signature Bank of Arkansas. We started this bank 20 years ago to serve our communities with local decision-making and personal relationships. From Fayetteville to Jonesboro, we've grown to 210 teammates, and we're proud to serve all of our customers, including through Banco C, our bilingual banking service. Call 479-684-3700 or visit signature.bank and tell us you heard about us on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
This episode is brought to you by FinditNWA.com, your hyper-local business directory connecting you with the best of Northwest Arkansas. Whether you're looking for a new place to eat, a trusted service provider, or unique local shops, FinditNWA has you covered. We also highlight businesses with a featured listing on the site. That means if you're a small business owner in NWA, you could be next. Discover more at FinditNWA.com.
You know, when I started this podcast over 400 episodes ago, one of the core ideas was to showcase Northwest Arkansas as a place where big things happen, not just in spite of being in the middle of the country, but because of who we are and what we've built here. And today's conversation is a perfect example of that. We're talking about international soccer coming to Fayetteville, the kind of world-class event that most people assume only happens in major coastal markets. But here we are, hosting Club America, one of the most recognized soccer clubs in the world, at Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium for an international doubleheader featuring their men's and women's first teams. To put that into perspective, Club America has more than 15 million fans in the United States alone and over 45 million supporters globally. Soccer as a whole now reaches more than 100 million fans in the U.S., and it's growing faster than any other major sport. Events like this are a part of a larger shift. Soccer is becoming a mainstream American sport, and Northwest Arkansas is right in the middle of that transformation. But this conversation isn't just about one event. It's about what it says about our region, our infrastructure, our soccer culture, our ability to compete on a global stage, and the diverse, passionate community we've built here. From youth leagues like Sporting, FC Arkansas, the Comets, and Ozark United, to the University of Arkansas women's program competing at the highest NC2A Division I level, soccer has deep roots in Northwest Arkansas. Today, I'm joined by two people who are making this kind of event possible. Pedro Garza is the International Development Director from Club America, and Jose Romero is the Sports Sales Manager from Experience Fayetteville. We're going to talk about how these opportunities come together and what they mean for our community and where soccer is headed in this country. Let's get into it.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Pedro, Jose, welcome to the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. How are you guys doing today?
All good, Randy. Thanks a lot. Connecting here from Mexico City and glad to be in this space and talking to your community.
Man, this is an international podcast for sure, man. I'm excited about that. So, well, listen, let's start with the big picture. What does it take? And this is really for you, Jose. What does it take for a city like Fayetteville to attract and host international sporting events at this level? What are the key factors that make something like this possible?
Yes, absolutely. And first of all, Randy, I just want to say thank you for having us on here. We appreciate the support. I'm here in the Experience Fayetteville offices in downtown Fayetteville, so just super excited to be on here. But yes, absolutely. So from, you know, from our perspective, we're always looking at the next big thing that we can attract here to Fayetteville, right? And to be able to attract those kinds of events, we have to first make sure we have the infrastructure, right? The venue capacity, And but also that we are, you know, appealing as a destination for people to come to travel and not just come to the event, but also stay a day extra or come in a day early, right? And so we always want to make sure that we are presenting ourselves in a way that visitors feel welcomed and that they know that they can come here and travel. As far as on the event organizer side, you know, we are an SEC town. We know we do sports great, right? We're lucky to be one of the 16 SEC towns in the country. So we're built for that. I mean, we have a community that is passionate about sports. So anytime we can leverage our community and, you know, just offer something that's unique, we're always, you know, super excited to jump on board and see how we can help, you know, produce a great event.
Yeah. You know, and I think sometimes people forget that. And when I tell people, like I tell people all the time, and I talk about Bud Walton Arena, which is one of the largest indoor sports arenas, you know, in the United States. I mean, in terms of like an indoor, purely, you know, indoor sports, basketball, volleyball, you name it. I mean, it holds over 20,000 plus people. It's huge. And then when you think of, like you said, SEC Nation, we've got the Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, which holds almost 80,000 plus people. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. When you compare it to even some larger cities like a Pittsburgh, where even Heinz Field, where my favorite Pittsburgh Steelers play, only holds like 72,000 people. So, I mean, we've got the space, right, where we can hang with the big boys. And so it's only fitting that Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas would be able to even consider hosting an event like this. So I think that's really big. You know, I want to talk, Pedro, specifically for you guys, for folks that may not be familiar with Club America. Can you give us a sense of the club's history and global reach? I ran some numbers earlier at the beginning of the podcast, but I'd like for our listeners and for the region to have a better understanding about who Club America is.
Of course. And thanks for asking, Randy. I mean, you already put it, the big important numbers in your introduction. So that kind of gives a context of the club. But really, I mean, Club America this year is going to turn 110 years old. So for starters, that's how long the club has been around. And also the women's team is going to be turning 10 years old this year. So it's a big year for Club America, and it's a big year for soccer, which I want to connect to because of the World Cup, right, happening in Mexico, the United States, and Canada this year. And we're doing all of this in the midst of that event. So that's a great connection too. But Club America, as kind of our slogan says it, is great-hearted, right? Club America is its people. Club America is its fans, right? And Club America is the community that really builds the greatness of the club. Yes, we are the club with most titles in the region, and we are the team with most fandom in the region as well. But what really comes out, I mean, that is the outcome of the first, right? And not the other way around. That is the outcome of the fans and how the fans really have their output towards the club and making it great. And going a little bit more into detail, Club America in the US, right? We are a team, a professional football team, as we like to call it, but a professional soccer team based out of Mexico City. But as the Hispanic diaspora in the US, as you well know, is huge, we see the United States not as a secondary market, but as a second primary market. I mean, as you mentioned, from 45 million fans we've got, one third of those fans live in the US. And we've got first, second, third generations. Now, a lot of the fans right now are completely born in the United States and in the United States culture, even if they have got Hispanic heritage. And that's why we are kind of a challenge of keep on building and having them know that Club America is theirs, even if they weren't born in Mexico City, even if they don't get the chance to see Club America every 15 days at the stadium, right? So that's a little bit of our job, trying to get Club America to them, being in these markets, being in the US, presence all the time, not only physically, but with digital efforts. More to that, Club America means also a 36 million plus community in socials. So that's huge. And that's a way to keep close to our fandom, hearing them out and trying to get them the club they love closer every day.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that the number of people that follow you guys on social. When my son plays club soccer at a high level, and I'm always, you know, soccer's new sport to me, right? As an American, I grew up playing football, basketball, baseball. I mean, baseball is as American as apple pie. And so soccer was really new to me, and I had no idea how big soccer was until I started following some of the people that my son was following, just because I wanted to keep an eye on him and find out, you know, who's who. And of course, I know who Messi is. And, you know, we love Christian Pulisic, you know, a home country player. But, you know, when I look at some of the following that some of these players have around the world, it's insane. I mean, they're larger than some countries in terms of the following. So hearing that you guys have a following of 36 million plus people is really no surprise. And that actually gives you a very significant mouthpiece to get the word out about the power of what they call the beautiful game.
Definitely, definitely. And it's a huge platform, as you say. And it's also why, I mean, the messages you give out, we keep it strictly to, I mean, what we know is football, right? So the messages go strictly to that and trying to get that Club America, not only Club America, but the soccer fandom, the information and the relevance they want and they need. But our job is all to trying to stay close to them, right? And here at Club America, we've got that. Well, we have a strategy called America in America, right? Kind of the growth strategy in the U.S. And this year, our Golden Clash match in Fayetteville is cornerstone in that strategy because of many, many things that we'll get into. I just don't want to take up the full time right now. I know we're going to be back here, but we'd love to talk more about that. Yeah.
So, and I have one more follow-up for you. Given that you've kind of given us the context of the size of Club America, the age of Club America, what does it mean when a club of your stature chooses to play in a market like ours here in Northwest Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, we have our natural markets in the U.S., and our natural markets are the ones with the biggest Hispanic diaspora, right? And with the biggest declared fans. That's a parenthesis I wanted to make. That 15 million fandom in the U.S. are declared fans, so that they actually mention they're a Club America fan publicly. So anyone under 18 years old that's a Club America fan is not accounted into those 15 million, or anyone that hasn't actually said it publicly. So the number there is bigger. It's just not possible to count officially, right? And what it means, we have a cadence of going to our natural markets, Texas, California. Last year, we played, I think, more than three times in California. On average, between the men's and the women's teams, we go to the U.S. 10 to 12 times a year to play. And this year is different. This year, we're only going to be in the U.S. two times with the men's team and two or three times with the women's. So it's a lot less, which makes it even more significant for each one of those opportunities. The first time we are going to ever in history play a doubleheader is going to be this. We've never played a follow-up match, men's and women's, on the same day. So that's going to be historical for us, and we're really excited about that. And going a little bit to the market, yes, we have our natural market, but we're always trying to grow, and we're always trying to find that new market in which we feel it's interesting and feel it's an emerging market in the football and the Club America way. And we found that in Northwest Arkansas with its cultural relevance, with the big presence of global companies, and with at least for me, surprisingly diverse diaspora of many different communities, being Hispanic a big one as well. So those are kind of three main factors why we chose Northwest Arkansas. And a fourth one that we didn't know beforehand, but now starting to engage and to know the community, it's their community. I mean, Jose here is the best example for it. As soon as we started setting foot in Northwest Arkansas, we had a hand reach out and what do you guys need? How can we help? How can we make this event bigger? And Jose is the example here, but it's been many, many different stakeholders that all they want to do is make the event bigger and make us stay, right? Because one thing is when we go to a market and the event and the whole thing is successful, we want to come back. And so making this a recurring thing, I think that would be the best for both of us, a win-win for Club America and the region.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah. And I don't want, Jose, I want to hear from you about this because, you know, simply my question is, when you heard about the opportunity of bringing Club America to Northwest Arkansas, I mean, what did that do for you and experience Fayetteville in terms of how did you guys turn on the charm and convince them that, hey, this was definitely the place to come?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we have a partnership with the University of Arkansas. And so full credit to them. They were the ones that kind of, you know, spearheaded this project. And that's the cadence that we work in. You know, university will kind of work with their external events team and, you know, prospect different events that they can bring into town. And then, you know, they bring us in as the destination marketing organization to help promote and just help elevate the event. For me personally, when I first heard about the possibility of having Club America here, I mean, my heritage, I'm Mexican. I grew up watching Club America. So that's something that, you know, just has been ingrained into my culture and my life growing up. So, you know, coming from that perspective, I immediately knew just that what a big chance and opportunity this is, just not for us just here in Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas, but for the whole state of Arkansas. Speaking to what, you know, Pedro said, historically, this is the first time there's going to be a doubleheader match in the state of Arkansas with two international professional club teams. And that's, I mean, for us to be in 2026 and be able to accomplish that in a year where it's a World Cup FIFA year as well, I think that's just incredible momentum. And it just speaks to, as well, to our community, you know, what our community wants. Like I said, our community is passionate about sports. We know how to watch sports. We know how to attend sporting events. So anytime that we get an opportunity to create accessibility for our community to be able to host events of this caliber here locally, we're always 100%, you know, ready to invest and, you know, just see how we can help out. And I mean, we've had a great time with not only Club America, but also Tigres when they were here in town doing some promo. We went around town, you know, to different businesses, stopped by the University of Arkansas basketball game, you know, hung out with some of the students there as well. So yeah, it was a great time. And it's just great to see the community really just rally behind it and be super excited. So from our end, you know, we're hopeful that this is a continuing, we were able to continue this and, you know, make it a reoccurring and for people to know that, hey, you know, you go to Fayetteville and you go to watch big events and, you know, be a part of it.
Yeah. And I want people that are listening to this to recognize that the U of A doesn't give up their Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium often for many things. I mean, you've had Garth Brooks had a concert there. But outside of that, outside of SEC football and some high school football games, the University of Arkansas does not make that stadium available. And I can't wait to see a soccer match at that stadium. So sight lines are great. I mean, there's just so many aspects about it. But back to what I was saying earlier about the rapid growth of soccer here in the United States. For many years now, we're seeing that reflected right here in Northwest Arkansas. I mentioned some of the youth leagues. We've got the college program. I want to say the University of Arkansas women's soccer program has been a top 10 or top 20 ranked team in soccer in Division I for women, which is huge. There is a real soccer culture taking root here. How will an event like this particularly connect to the local grassroots movements that we have with soccer? And what does that relationship look like? Did you connect with some of the local teams to kind of bring them on board to support what you're doing with Club America?
Glad that you mentioned it, Randy. Yet when we first started to see Northwest Arkansas as the next project to have a big event as a Golden Clash, it was around 2 years ago, a little bit more than 2 years ago, where the initial conversations with the university started. And we got connected by the university to Parks and Rec in Bentonville. And that was the first approach through the university and then Parks and Rec. Actually, Parks and Rec Bentonville, their whole youth structure has been playing with a Club America crest on their uniform since 2 years ago. It as a sponsorship of Club America with Parks and Rec, to as a first step of getting into the community, right? And right now that it's almost of time that we materialize that with the Golden Clash, we've been really involved. And this is where I mentioned that Jose was only an example. The Comets FC with Samir has been great and wanted to get involved in the Golden Clash. He's going to host actually a youth soccer clinic the day before the match on Friday 27th, where he's inviting all the youth soccer clubs in the region to participate in a dynamic that they're going to be able to win tickets to the game and different prizes. Club America is going to be there with some former players and mascots just interacting with the community. We went last February 14th here with Jose, and we're all over town just trying to spread the word. And also we had someone reach out from Ozark United. They're, I think I might get mixed up on the title, but it's their general manager. Wes. That has been amazing with us. And he's also going to be actually the lead and the main point of contact for a youth soccer parade that we're trying to put together for the match, which, I mean, mainly what is going to consist is of inviting kids to the match to be able to parade in between matches, in between the women's and the men's match, wearing their club uniform, just kind of proudly and showcasing that to the stadium, to the audience, and trying to make part of that soccer community you're mentioning that's already existing in Northwest Arkansas and rapidly growing, a part of the Golden Class, right? And Glenn, you also mentioned the women's program at the Razorback Stadium. It's amazing. We've had some conversations with the coach and with the operation staff over there, and really just shooting ideas of what can be done between them and us, not only for the Golden Class, but for the future. We think it could be very beneficial for us. And as you say, how do we make this initiative stay over time, keeping on building and helping that soccer keep on growing in the region?
Yeah, no, that's exciting. I would love to see a pipeline from the Women's University of Arkansas soccer program to what you guys are doing, because, you know, a lot of people, there's never really like a clear line between playing, you know, either in high school or in college and then going and playing in the pros. And so, you know, there's so many different steps that have to be taken to ultimately get to that space that when you are able to kind of create a situation where you create a clear path for people, I think it's really, I certainly applaud what you guys are doing, and I'm excited to hear that. This question I have, Jose, for you with regard to just the behind the scenes. When a major event like this comes to town, there's obviously the match, which we're all excited for. And what's the date of that match?
The match is going to be on Saturday, March 28th.
Okay. All right. Saturday, March 28th. We'll make sure we put all that information will be in the show notes, and we'll make sure that people have the ability to come check that out. But I wanted to kind of find out, there's the broader experience, and you kind of alluded to fan activation, community engagement, economic impact. Can you talk about what that ecosystem looks like, especially from the experienced Fayetteville side of things, and why it matters beyond just the game day?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So from our side, as experienced Fayetteville, you know, we do rely on our community and local stakeholders to assist in, you know, making sure that events are successful, right? We don't fully upfront produce any events. We work as facilitators, right? So what that means is, you know, when an event organizer or a business or organization approaches us, we serve as that connector to make sure that they have all the tools and all the connections necessary to make sure that their event is successful, right? And that can look in a couple different ways. We pride ourselves in being able to offer value and kind services at the top level, as well as, you know, incentive funding if necessary as well. And of course, all the marketing and PR efforts as well. And, you know, in terms of, you know, just economic impact for us, you know, that's our main goal as an organization, is to identify time periods throughout the calendar year in Fayetteville where we see that there is a need for economic impact and a need for events to bring in people from out of town, visitors, and, you know, drive that spend, right? Because not only are people going to be attending the match, right? They're going to come in, they're going to drive into town. That means they're going to probably stop at a gas station. They're going to stop at a restaurant. They're hopefully going to stay at a hotel, you know? And so we want to make sure that we are promoting ourselves as a destination where, hey, you're not just coming for this particular event, but we have a whole town of things to do. We're so lucky to have, you know, all the natural greenery around us with the Razorback Greenway, Mount Kessler, Centennial Park, just to name a couple of the green spaces that we have here and we're lucky to have here. So I always say, you know, anytime we can get a visitor for the first time into Fayetteville, they're going to get hooked and they're going to want to come back again. And we've seen that with data. We've been able to show that, you know, we are a destination where people do want to come back and, you know, they pick out their vacations and, you know, make time to do that with our families and, you know, with friends as well. I think
it's
also
huge.
Yeah,
it's huge.
No, yeah, it's huge.
It is. Because when I think about specifically, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but like I think of like all the time that I've spent in Tulsa with my son or in Dallas or in Kansas City. And I think about all of the different, like we were down in Dallas for the regionals. And I mean, there were people from all over the South and Southeast and Southwest region of the United States. I mean, I saw every license plate from Florida to New Mexico. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people there, and I could only imagine the amount of revenue that came in the hotels and the restaurants and all of the other ancillary things that go into a local community that gets supported. And I can only imagine what businesses here in Northwest Arkansas are going to experience when Club America comes to town and brings with them all of that excitement and just, you know, the anticipation for what the event is going to be. It's more than just a soccer game. And I think people need to understand that and recognize that. I mean, there are businesses that the lifeblood of that business will be infused because of the participation of people coming to this Club America event. So there's always that connection that sometimes I think we forget about that makes it not just a, you know, from a civic minded aspect of pride, but an economic impact. And then just the idea of growing the sports culture around soccer and what that represents in our community. So, and I could go on and on, but I mean, I'm preaching to the choir with you guys. You understand it, but I do want our listeners to understand the significance of having an event like Club America, having a team like Club America, an event like the Golden Clash come here to Northwest Arkansas.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know, just to kind of reiterate your point, you know, for us, you know, as an organization, one of our main pillars is to keep community at heart. Right. And so everything that we do, we always want to make sure that our community is, you know, benefiting not just in the short run, but also in the long run of things. Right. And, you know, working with Club America like this, you know, that's given us the opportunity to create accessibility for our community to be able to attend, you know, matches of this caliber in their hometown. So, yeah, no, absolutely. What you said, I agree. And yeah, we're super excited to be able to have all these visitors come into town and, you know, have them here in Fayetteville.
Well, I'm looking forward to the traffic because it'll be a good problem to have for sure. So, Pedro, I want to ask you this question because as we're heading into a major moment for soccer here in North America with the World Cup coming in this summer in 2026, how do events like this particular event, the Golden Clash, how does that fit into the larger momentum? And what does it mean for cities like Fayetteville to be a part of that conversation?
I mean, just being, it's really hard for the venues that are already hosting a World Cup match, right? So us as a soccer team and not as a soccer nation, which really you don't have 100% to do at the World Cup, we try to find these, that's another reason of the market, find these places which we can still showcase and make the place a part of the broader soccer movement and not only the World Cup, right? Because all the brands right now want to be into soccer. All the cities right now want to be into soccer. And there's only a handful of cities that are going to get World Cup matches, right? So it's just trying to be on that wave, be on that chatter that is also happening from every podcast, every news, every TV on the radio. I mean, that is the conversation right now, right? So putting Club America in that conversation and putting the place where the events are happening in that conversation is part of the plan. And is, I mean, after that big event happens, it's not like it's just going to come and go, right? Soccer is already growing in the region and in the country. And when the World Cup goes, the only thing that's going to happen is that's going to boost that even more, right? So if this is a first step with soccer growing and with this event happening, the World Cup in the United States, for next year's, is this going to be easier in a way, right? To still have soccer, still have that presence there. And a way of doing it and trying to connect that with Jose and you were just saying of the experience, I guess the overall experience around the match, at least what we've encountered with most of our fans in the US and that Hispanic and Latino community, is that they see the match not only as a match, but as an opportunity to go and connect with their community. Some of them, it's a ritual. This is what my father and my grandfather did. And they told me about how they went to soccer match and then left and they had their tailgate. And around that, that's how we're trying to build also the fan fest, right? For the community and the fan that goes to the match gets the full experience of not only a match, but being here in the fan fest with all the brands activating, and you'll be able to be just hanging around, getting to know the Club America legends, the Tigres legends, having pictures with the trophies, the mascots, and all the other brands that are going to be there, right? And sponsors, just trying to engage with the community with different types of sampling and just making a party out of it. That's also like a big thing that englobes the overall event and that not just two soccer matches, right?
Yeah, no, and you said it. I mean, the folks around here know about a tailgate, that's for sure. And so I think that's going to be exciting to see. And that's why I expect that even all of the festivities around the actual Golden Clash on that day, on that Saturday, are going to be simply amazing. Listen, I want to be respectful of your time. And as we kind of wind this up, Jose, I want to kind of bring this home for people that want to experience events like this, whether it's this particular match, the Golden Clash, or future international competitions, What do they need to know about how to stay connected, how to get tickets, and plug into what's happening in the region, especially here in Fayetteville?
Yeah, absolutely. So from our side, you know, we always want to be that go-to resource for our communities and for the state as a whole. The easiest way to stay up to date with everything that we're investing in and helping produce and bring into town would be through our website, experiencefable.com. We have an online community calendar on there that our marketing team does a great job of making sure that it's, you know, all the important information and always up to date. On that calendar, we usually typically list about anywhere from 300 to 500 events a month. So we're really, you know, locked into making sure that we're able to be a resource for people, not just for our that are already in our community, but people that are coming into town maybe for the first time. The other, you know, way to be able to stay connected to is through our Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, I think right now we boast right around over 70,000 followers on Instagram, and we're always making sure to, you know, stay up to date with everything that's going on in the town. So those are just two, you know, quick, simple ways that people can, you know, always stay engaged to see what's happening in Fable next.
I love that. I love that. And Pedro, I'm going to ask you, for people that want to follow Club America, what's the easiest way for them to do that? Can you give us your website and maybe your preferred social media handle so people can start following you guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for the social media handles, it's Club America altogether for the social media platform of your preference. I guess Instagram, well, depends on the age group you're talking to, right?
I know, right? Yeah, you have to take that into consideration because some people are on Facebook, some people are not, some people are on Snapchat. So, and we'll put, just for everybody listening to this, and I don't want anybody to have an accident trying to write this down if they're driving while they're listening to this episode, but we'll put all of this in the show notes so that we'll make sure I'll get all of the social media contacts and handles from Pedro so that on your preferred social media platform, you can follow Club America, and the same thing for Experience Fayetteville, which I've had a number of years of history and interaction with, and they do an amazing job, just like Jose said, of creating awareness around all of the activities happening here, primarily in Fayetteville, but also Northwest Arkansas in general, right? Because I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Jose, but even though, you know, you focus on Fayetteville, you're focusing on Northwest Arkansas, as is the folks up at Visit Bentonville and elsewhere. And so we all look collectively as if we have success here in Northwest Arkansas, we all benefit, because I can tell you right now, even though this event will be held in Fayetteville, from Fayetteville all the way up to Bella Vista will benefit from people being here in the region for the Golden Clash event with Club America. Am I right, Jose?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you hit it right on. It's a big win for us here in Fayetteville, but, you know, for Northwest Arkansas, the surrounding cities, but also for the state as a whole, right? And, you know, anytime that we can, you know, put Fayetteville and the great state of Arkansas on the map, you know, it's a win-win situation for everybody. And so we're fortunate that we work with some of the other DMOs who are really open to being collaborative with us. So yeah, it's a team effort.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure. It is.
Randy,
sure.
Now that you mentioned that, if anyone listening is a little bit like me and likes to leave stuff till the end, an important note before you go is that Razorback Football Stadium is a cashless building, right? So
yes,
if you want to come that day and buy your ticket, bring your card, right?
Yes.
If you plan going before, the tick box ticket office is open also. If you're not a digital person, you can go straight to the box office and do it anytime from Monday to Friday as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to put in all of the events around this that where young people can, where the soccer clinics and all that. Samir is a soccer legend here in Northwest Arkansas. And so everything that he's done with the Comets and for the game of soccer has been tremendous. I mean, even my son used to play for Samir, but I mean, you know, we have a lot of people like Samir in Northwest Arkansas that want to see this game grow to epic proportions. And so, you know, what you're doing, Pedro, by bringing your team here to participate is excellent. And I really want to applaud the efforts of your club, which is over 100 years old, of making the commitment to come to Northwest Arkansas to share the beautiful game with our region and what that's going to mean, not just for us right now and what that will mean for that Saturday that you have the event, but also what it will mean for the future. So I hope this is just the first of several conversations where we're talking about major international level soccer coming to Northwest Arkansas, because this region is primed for it.
Thank you. We're really excited to be there. The date is almost there, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Arkansas hospitality on March 28th.
Yeah, no, well, I appreciate it, man. You guys are going to do a great job, and I will be there with bells on, excited to see it. The only disappointment is that my son, who is a soccer player, is physically in Spain right now learning Spanish and playing soccer. So he'll have to hear about it secondhand from me. But hopefully next year when you guys come back or the year after, I'll make sure that he's in the stands with me as well. So, but listen, I want to thank you both very much for joining us on this episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Pedro Garza, Jose Romero, we appreciate you guys coming out and spending a little bit of time sharing about the Golden Clash and the beautiful game of soccer that's coming right here to Northwest Arkansas.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy, for having us. We appreciate it, you know, from the Experience Fable side and, you know, just giving us a voice to be able to promote this event. And yeah, we're super excited. And like, again, you know, we just want to invite all the community and everybody, you know, in the surrounding areas to come out there March 28th, Saturday, come to Fan Fest, come to the women's match, come to the men's match, stay for the parade. It's going to be a great time.
That's awesome.
Pedro, Randy. Thank you for the time and happy to be here and excited to be there next week.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. And for anybody listening to this after the fact, just bookmark this episode because this is just going to be the first of many events like this. And really, really want to encourage you to stay in touch with both of these organizations, Experience Fayetteville and Club America, for new things that will be happening in the future. That was Pedro Garza from Club America and Jose Romero from Experience Fayetteville talking about what it means when world-class soccer comes to Northwest Arkansas. If you want to stay connected to major events happening in Fayetteville, whether it's soccer, festivals, conferences, or whatever's next, head over to experiencefayetteville.com. That's where you'll find the latest on what's coming to the region and how to be a part of it. This is the kind of moment that reminds me why I started this podcast in the first place so many years ago. Northwest Arkansas isn't just growing. We're competing on a global stage. We're attracting international attention. We're building something that didn't exist a generation ago. And honestly, it's just really cool to see what's possible when a community invests in itself and shows up. As always, thanks for listening to I Am Northwest Arkansas. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with someone who loves soccer or someone who's curious about where this region is headed. Until next time, I'm Randy Wilburn, and this is the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. I'll see you next week. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit IamNorthwestArkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Hey folks, Randy Wilburn here. You know, I always know what's happening in Northwest Arkansas because I read NWA Daily. Every morning, I get a 5-minute write-up with local news, events, new business alerts, and more straight to my inbox. It's my go-to for staying connected to this amazing community. When I meet new transplants to NWA, one of the first things I tell them is subscribe to NWA Daily. It's the best way to discover local events, try new businesses, and support nonprofits making a difference. Stay connected, stay informed, and sign up for free today at nwadaily.com.